Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, we once again welcome you in our program Al-Mustafa, The Chosen One. In this program we bring various topics. Alhamdulillah, today we'll be talking about Islam is a complete code of life. Be with us from start to end, inshallah azawajal. You are going to learn an immense amount of knowledge today. But before we proceed towards our topic, let's make few good intentions. My Shaykh Tariqat, Amir of Ahl Sunnah, Hazrat Allama Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri Damat Barakatuhumul Aliya, has given us a beautiful mindset that we should always make good intentions before we perform any good deed or do any permissible task. I make this intention, inshallah, I will deliver this program for the pleasure of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. You all make this intention that you will be with us from start till end. You'll remember what you learn and you will pass this knowledge on to others too, inshallah azza wa jal. Dear respected viewers, today we've got our brother Wasim Abbas with us, inshallah, Muballigh of Dawat Islami. And we will also take a few Madani pearls from him too, on this very topic that Islam is a complete code of life. Dear respected viewers, Islam, it gives us a beautiful way of life to spend, whether it is ibadat, worshipping Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, or it is someone's moral life, intellectual life, personal life, family life, social life, economic life, political life, or international affairs. In each and every way, Alhamdulillah, Islam gives us guidance. There is a guidance for us. No matter we belong to any profession, Alhamdulillah, we will find blessings, we will find the way forward and a hidayah, a nur, a light from the seerah of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and from the sayings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam from Quran, Alhamdulillah. So we have been guided. That is the reason it is said Islam is a complete code of life. In today's program, inshallah, what we will do, we'll give you a few examples how this phrase is said and it comes true. Let's go towards our Muballigh of Dawat Islam, Wasim Abbas bhai. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi.
How are you doing? You okay? MashaAllah. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much for coming in this program. As you know, we are talking about Islam is a complete code of life.
Indeed.
So, I would like to ask you, definitely, when we think that we are Muslims, so first thing comes hukuk of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, the rights of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, definitely they are important. Iman, and then Psalm, Salah, Fast, you see, going to Hajj, Zakah. And these forms of Ibadah, they are definitely to please Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, but some of the forms of Ibadah, they also indirectly help humans. I mean, if you talk about charity and Zakah. But today I would like to talk about more of the human rights, the way how beautifully Islam has mentioned and Islam has given us guidelines that what are the rights of parents, what are the rights of children, what is the right of a wife, what is the right of a husband, what is right of your neighbor, right? Even the person who works with you, what is his right? Even a person who has got a company with you for a little while, little suhbah he has got with you, maybe you are sitting in a bus and somebody sits next to you, but even that person has got right, and Islam has even mentioned the right of that person who sits next to you for a little while. So where would you like to start from, inshallah? And inshallah, we'll give you examples to the viewers of Madani Channel.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. As it's quite obvious from the title of our today's episode, that Islam indeed is a complete code of conduct. And the golden principles of Islam, if you look at those principles in totality, they guide human beings just like those shining stars that guide a lost traveler in the midst of a dark night. So whichever walk of life you take, as you, mashallah, beautifully gave a few examples, you will see the golden principles of Islam guiding the humanity, that how those affairs should be undertaken. And indeed, salvation lies in, of course, following those golden principles of Islam. Islam is very peace-favoring and very loving, complete and comprehensive religion. And if we look at all the aspects of our society, you will see the golden principles of Islam guiding the mankind, that how certain affairs in the society, when we say society, it encompasses everything, your family, your neighbors, your work pattern, your family, everything, that how all these affairs should be undertaken. And why wouldn't it be, when the glorious Quran is our guide and the blessed seerah of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is a perfect role model for us, when the book of Allah Almighty, which has no ambiguity in it,
no doubt,
when that book is our guide, and when the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who has no defect, in fact not even a doubt of defect or flaw can come anywhere close to the seerah of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu
and the book reveals he's got each and everything mentioned in it.
Subhanallah. So when we have such a book, such a role model, then why wouldn't Islam be a complete code of life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran in part 6, verse number 3 of Surah Maida, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati Wa Raditu Lakum Al-Islama Deena.
Subhanallah.
Translation from Kanzul Iman, that today I have perfected for you your religion and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as your religion. So Alhamdulillah, this divine commandment in the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed for us that Islam is there and this is the final deen for you. There's no other way.
It's complete religion.
It's complete religion. And whatever rulings have been mentioned in Islam now, that's complete, that's final. There won't be any abrogation, there won't be any amendments in this now. And when we look into the golden principles of Islam in more depth, let's take examples of women's right, for example, that how beautifully Islam taught us that how shall we treat a woman in our families, in our society, because women play a very integral part in our lives. They are in the form of our mothers, our sisters, our wives, so on and so forth. So how shall we treat them? How shall we deal with them? And there's one way, many a times, whenever you want to compare something, you want to see the essence or the excellence of something, then there has to be something with which we can compare those components, those aspects. So today we're talking about the golden principles of Islam. So there has to be something that we can compare these principles against, so we can determine and understand how beautiful these principles are.
MashaAllah.
So before Islam, when in Arabian Peninsula and
what
all
was
around,
the time of ignorance,
during the time of ignorance, we all know that what was the state of women? They were treated worse than animals. And when Islam revealed, when Islam came, then what rights were given to those women, same women who were treated worse than animals, now they had given such a high rank that if she was in the shape of a mother, in the form of a mother, then paradise lied beneath her feet. If she was in the shape, in the form of your wife, then she's someone who's protecting your dignity. If she's in the form of your sister, then she's your honor, so and so forth.
Wasim, you, mashallah, are explaining that what Islam has given rights to the women, but as you beautifully said, that what was before that? And I would like to mention for the viewers of Madani Channel that before, women did not have no value at all.
Indeed. Right?
They were treated like animals, as you beautifully said, and they were just like slaves. And it is also mentioned that if they would go to work and they would work until from the day till night, and when they would earn something and that was taken by the men, they would take that from them and they would hit them, they would torture them, and even they would cut their ear, their nose, their body parts were cut of the woman. This is how they were treated, and they did not have any standing in society. They were treated like animals. Further, it is mentioned that sometimes they would be murdered, right? Oh. To such an extent, they were tortured, they were murdered, and it is very famously known that when daughter was born, they were buried alive. So this was the condition of a woman before Islam, right? The time of ignorance, as we were talking about. They did not have any rights in inheritance. They wouldn't get nothing.
Forget about rights. Those women whose husbands would pass away, children with Ma'adallah take those women, so-called their mothers, as their own property. And they had no standing, whether they were mother, whether they were wife, whether they were a daughter, they had no standing whatsoever, no value in the society. And as soon as Islam came, same mother became a woman beneath whose feet paradise light. And the example of daughter you gave, same daughter, upon bringing her up in a beautiful manner, there was a glad tiding of paradise was given. Now, same daughter that was buried alive in the era of ignorance, after Islam, people started to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the birth of a daughter. Allah. People started to look after their daughters. Why? Because the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave the glad tiding that the one who looks after his daughter, one daughter, two daughter, three daughter, the different narrations, the summary is that whoever looks after them properly, there's a glad tiding of paradise for him.
Subhanallah.
Glad tiding for Jannah for him. Now, a daughter became the honor of the house. A daughter became the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are those golden principles that were revealed by Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, established in the society, that gave a woman a standing, a recognition in the society, and she became a symbol of honor and dignity for a man. Now let's just give an example of a wife, because the principles that are given by the elite, they actually matter. Now once a person went to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and during the time when he was Amirul Mu'mineen, and he went with the intention of complaining about his own wife to him. And when he went to the doorstep of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, and he heard his own wife, meaning the wife of Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, talking to him in not very pleasant manner. So he thought to himself that I came with my complaint to him. Now he's...
How he's going to help me.
Exactly. He's suffering the same thing as I am. So he left, and Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala, when he came to know about his arrival, he asked him, why are you returning back? Then he explained that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, I came with this intention, but you are facing the same problem as I am. So how can you help me? Then upon this, the golden words that Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu mentioned him, only if we apply those golden words in our lives today, our homes will become abode of peace.
Subhan.
What did Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu say? He said that there are a few rights of my wife upon me. He's Amirul Mu'mineen. He's amongst Ashara Mubashara. And what is he saying? That there are a few rights of wife upon me. I.e., I gain few advantages from her, on the basis of which I pardon her. I forgive her. What are those? She is a shield for me from hell. It is due to her that my heart remains safe from haram. When I leave my home, she becomes my treasurer and protector of my wealth. She washes and cleans my clothes for me. She nurtures my children. She cooks, makes food for me. So Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he started to tell good things about his wife. That this is how you should look after your wife. This is how a house is run. There are compromises that you both have to make on your own parts. And after hearing all this, that person said that without doubt, I also attained those benefits from my own wife that you attained, but I overlooked her. Hence, I will now also excuse her. Now, look at the element of compromising and forgiving your wife. That how beautifully Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala told him a golden principle of keeping peace established in a household. If someone comes to us nowadays, what do? Oh, you know, she did this to you. Go back and do 10 times worse to her. You know, you're not bound by her. You live your own life. You don't need to be, you know, suppressed by her. But look at Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala. This is how you save a household. And these are those golden principles of Islam, where a woman recognizes her status, whether she's a wife, Masha, whether she's a daughter, whether she's a mother.
Wasim, you give an example of Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala, and who was a Sahabi Rasul. Right? Oh. He was given tarbiyah by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So we can imagine that these personalities, they were given tarbiyah from the court of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So actually, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam taught the respect of women, right? And Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam taught the rights of women to Sahaba kiram, and then they practically showed the example. And another important point today, as we are talking about, viewers, about the topic is Islam is a complete code of life. Yes, of course it is, because we have got best of all creation, Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, as our Nabi, as our Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, in such a way, in such perfect way, that you can take, subhanallah, any guidelines in any walk of life you want, you can get it from the court of Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He being a teacher, you can get, for example, by profession you are a teacher, okay, you want guidelines as a teacher to live a life, then Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is a teacher. The first university was in Madinatul Nabi, Zadah Allahu Sharfan wa Ta'zima, and the students were Ashabi Suffa. And who was the teacher? Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. If you want guiding principles to live and as a father, as a good father, the Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam showed that how to raise children, who is a father, and subhanallah, the best role model is the life of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Very beautiful aspect over here that comes to mind is how to deal with your son-in-law, how to go to your daughter's house after her wedding,
subhanallah,
how to treat your daughter's in-laws. This is very important today, because we all want a happy life for our daughters, for our sons after they get married. All these aspects can be beautifully seen in the seerah of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you want to live a successful, happy life as a businessman, as a father, as a husband, as a son, whatever you name it, the seerah of the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is there, the Islamic code of conduct is there.
And that is the complete code of life. MashaAllah. Dear respected viewers, now it's the time to include one segment that is a chosen sunnah. Let's go towards that. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Respected viewers, today we have chosen a sunnah that is sunnah of saying salam. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Amr bin Al-As radiyallahu ta'ala an narrated, a man humbly asked the beloved Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, what is the best thing of Islam? The noblest Rasul sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam replied, feed the poor and say salam to everyone, whether you know him or not. Subhanallah. Wasim Abbas Bhai, again, this is the beauty of Islam, right? Feeding those they are hungry, right? At the same time, saying salam. Salam is a peace. Okay? It's a dua of peace. Then you say to somebody that peace be upon you. And this is again a beautiful thing. Our greeting starts with peace. Right? Our Islam, the root word, again, when you go, subhanAllah, you find that means peace. So, sometimes we say good morning, maybe that specific time you are wishing and you are greeting somebody. Maybe good afternoon, that specific time you're talking about. Good evening, maybe at that time. Okay, but subhanAllah, the greetings of Islam, how beautiful they are. You say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. It's a total blessing. You're not restricting any time with that. You are giving dua of peace to your fellow Muslim brother. SubhanAllah. What would you say onto this, please?
Definitely. And as you spread salam amongst yourselves, the mutual love, affection also increases amongst Islamic brothers. And this is one aspect that unfortunately we are missing in our society nowadays, because of which a lot of problems we see in our society. So giving salam to each other,
whether we know or not.
Indeed. So the benefits of the hereafter are there. We attain reward. And the person who gives salam first is free from hypocrisy. And from worldly benefits we see that love and affection amongst
social
brothers,
benefits also.
Social benefits also, the mutual understanding gets better amongst brothers, and so many other benefits. So again, through this sunnah, we come to know about another beautiful
conduct of Islam.
Conduct of Islam.
Wasim Abbas, let's come back to the topic, as we were talking about rights of women. Then Islam also mentions rights of parents, right? I would ask you, because in this day, and it's very important to guide our children, to tell them what are the rights of parents, so that they can respect them, and how beautifully Islam has mentioned. I would need your help, if you could please explain.
Regarding parents, Islam has given beautiful guidelines. As in, the household which has the children that are obedient to parents, that household is a beautiful household. And the household where children, of course, disobey parents, that household is a center of havoc. It's a center of course, problems, and the parents, everyone in the house faces lack of peace. In other words, we can say that the house that abides by the principles of Islam in relation to obeying parents, respecting parents, that house is actually an abode of peace. When we talk from the perspective of Sharia, from the perspective of Islam, Islam emphasizes so much on the rights of parents. We read in the narrations that the one who disobeys parents, for every other sin, the punishment can be postponed until the day of judgment. But the one who disobeys his parents, he will be punished in this world as well. This is such a sin for which the punishment is also received in this world as well as in the hereafter. And when we look at the seerah of our righteous predecessors, rahimahumullah, we see that many of them, they attained the ranks of sainthood by the virtue of the dua of their mother. How did Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi achieve the rank of sainthood, the rank of wilaya? Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, one of the shining stars of the sky of sainthood, in one very cold night, when his mother asked him to get him some water, he brings the water, but his mother had fallen asleep. And with the thought that if I wake up my mother, her sleep will be disturbed, he stood by her bed all night long, holding the glass of water in his hand. And it was a cold night, keep in mind. And in the morning when the mother woke up, she saw her beloved child standing by her. And she asked him, what happened? Why are you standing over here? So he mentioned the whole account. And as just before this, when she took the glass of water from him, his finger had frozen with the glass because it was a cold, freezing night. The finger had attached to the glass because it had frozen. And as she took the glass from his hand, the finger separated and the skin peeled off, resulting it to bleed. And that's when she asked what happened. And then he mentioned the whole account. And she, the mother of Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi ta'ala, prayed to Allah Almighty that, Ya Allah, I'm pleased with him, you also be pleased with him. And Allah Almighty accepted this dua of his mother, and Sayyidina Bayezid Bustami rahmatullahi ta'ala achieved the ranks of wilaya, sainthood. Over here, it was solely the dua of his mother that he became a wali. Then we come to know about the neighbor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in paradise. Who will be the neighbor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in paradise? A butcher. Which butcher? Who served his parents duly in their old age. So their parents would supplicate for him that, Ya Allah, make our son the neighbor of Musa in paradise. So this is another excellence that we find. That just imagine, you are in your Nabi, your Prophet, you're in a nation and your Prophet is there. And what other bigger privilege and honor can you receive than being the neighbor of your Prophet, of your nation's Prophet in Jannah?
So in other words, Wasim bhai, if somebody wants to get proximity of a Prophet in Jannah, right? A neighborhood of a Prophet in Jannah. So one of the good deeds amongst many is one to respect, look after, serve your parents.
Indeed.
That's what we learn from this, isn't it?
Respect your parents, do not be rude to them. And when we talk about other rewards as well, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. Barakah, there's blessings in your sustenance as well. The doors for rizq, halal money are opened for you, and there are many other benefits as well. So these are, we're talking from a religious perspective. Now let's come back to the social elements that are hidden in this. Now, of course, when you look after your parents, when you serve them, you just imagine how happy your parents will be.
Yeah.
Imagine how pleasing they would be. Now, whatever you request them, whatever you ask them, they'll be more than happy to listen to you. They'll be more than happy to, you know, go along with whatever you say. Now, that very house, what beautiful peace would be prevalent. How beautifully peace would prevail in that household where parents are listened to, and those parents whose children are obedient to them, those parents are extraordinarily affectionate and kind towards their children as well.
MashaAllah. Dear respected viewers, today we are talking about Islam is a complete code of life. We are talking about rights of parents. We are talking about rights of mother and father. Who has taught this? Islam has taught this, isn't it? Islam has given us an understanding that we should respect. If we do so, we will get a abode in Jannah. We will get neighborhood of a prophet in Jannah, inshaAllah, if Allah Ta'ala wills. What else we need? Allahu Akbar. You see, a beautiful couplet comes in my mind when you're talking about how important it is, the dua of a mother. Right? Someone said, "Mangta kya hai hum faqeeron se, ja teri maa abhi salamat hai." Allahu Akbar. What are you asking from, us, a faqeer, right? A person, normally we go to people who are pious and we go and ask them for dua. This is very good practice. We should do that. But sometimes we forget that there is someone in our own house, right? If we serve them, and if we get their dua, inshallah, maybe that would reach more quicker in the court of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as it metaphorically said.
And the duas of parents are accepted in the favor of children.
In the favor of children.
So you want your duas to be accepted? Make your parents happy. When they become happy, they make dua for you. Your, inshallah, needs will be fulfilled.
Subhanallah. So dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, this is the beauty of Islam. If we teach the teachings of Islam to our children, this is the problem. We have not taught. Today we complain, my child doesn't listen to me. Waseem bhai, sometimes parents, they come to maybe those Islamic figures, can you please do dua, can you give some ta'weez or something? But my child, he doesn't listen, he misbehaves, he shouts. Allahu Akbar, had we taught these children the teachings of Islam, then how dare he would do that?
Indeed.
If the teachings of Islam are taught, the complete code of life is taught from the beginning, how come is it possible that a child misbehaves? Yes, my dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, because Islam says that you are not allowed to even say, "Uff." This is the minimum expression of pain. You're not allowed to do that. No, you let alone be harsh.
Even if they oppress.
Even if they oppress, right? Then, dear respected viewers, can you imagine if someone knows, if he has been taught by Islamic teachings, that it is not allowed. They're my parents, they've done each and everything for me. When I was in bed, they would look after me. When I wouldn't be able to walk, they made me walk. When I was not able to eat, they made me eat, right? Today, if I talk, then I'm talking in front of them. Allahu Akbar, they are my parents, they did each and everything, they did not sleep all night, they took me to hospitals, they sacrificed their sleep, their comfort, each and everything, and I'm being harsh to them. It's not possible. If someone knows the value of parents, and if Islamic teachings are properly taught, then inshallah, they will respect, they will love their parents, they will look after them, they will serve them. And this is a lack in our society. We are lacking. We are not teaching them. We are teaching them world. We are teaching them other things. Our priorities are different. And then, yes, they become big doctors, big engineers, maybe very big hi-fi posts that go and reach there. But dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, then it is hard. Sometimes when a child gets to a hi-fi post, parents, they get scared to talk to them, to talk to their own child because he has got no position. Whereas if you had made your child understandings of teachings of Islam also, Allahu Akbar, if a child is a hafiz of Quran, if a child is an Islamic scholar, then they get scared to talk in front of their parents because they know what is the adab to speak in front of the parents. This is the difference. So choices ours, what did we do? What did we teach them?
And then on the same note, this is where your beloved Dawah the Islamic comes into play. You gave a beautiful example of those people becoming professionals in their lives, becoming doctors, engineers. We have, alhamdulillah, beautiful examples in front of us where we have those Islamic brothers who are professionals, who are engineers, who are doctors, solicitors. But alhamdulillah, they're also preachers.
But they have been taught deen.
Indeed, that's the point that I'm trying to make, that Dawat-e-Islami, alhamdulillah, they came in the Madani environment of Dawat-e-Islami, they were taught the priorities, they set their priorities right. Alhamdulillah, they're doctors today, but yet they are still scared to talk in front of their parents in a louder voice. So this is, again, you know, one of those phenomena that we need to actually look at, that although we are teaching our children, we are telling them to earn the dunya, which to some extent we have to. Yes, but the most important fact, which is the Islamic teachings, have we actually provided them with those? And for that, alhamdulillah, your beloved Dawat Islami is there to serve you, to serve the Ummah.
MashaAllah. Wasim bhai, it's the time to include one segment. Let's go towards that chosen facts. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Dear respected viewers, today we've got chosen facts for you. The first is, what is the total number of prophets? Allah Azza wa Jal has sent countless prophets, and only He Azza wa Jal knows their exact total number. So that's the answer for this fact. And then there's another question which says, who is called Rasul? It is not necessary for a Rasul to be a human being. A Rasul may be from amongst humans or from angels. Some Islamic scholars are of the opinion that a Rasul is such a Nabi who brings a new Sharia. So this is for the Rasul. And my dear Islamic brothers, another question is today in chosen fact, that who is called a Nabi? A Nabi is that human being to whom Allah Azza wa Jal has sent Wahi, revelation, right, for the guidance of the humankind, whether through the angel or without. So this is the definition of Nabi. Alhamdulillah, today in Chosen Facts, we have learned the definition of Nabi, the definition of Rasul, and what is the total number. We've also heard that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala knows the exact total number of prophets. May Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala give us understanding to learn more knowledge. Ameen, bijahin nabil, ameen. Musim Abbas, if we take further discussion, we're talking about complete code of life. We talked about rights of women. We talked about rights of parents, especially as we just talked about recently. Now, if we take it a bit further, what does Islam say about elder brother? What is the right of elder brother?
SubhanAllah. Again, after parents, it is stated that the most highest right, the biggest right that is given for the elder brother. And again, Rizwan Bey, if you look at our society today, and we look at the in families, siblings, brothers, they have discord amongst each other, they have disputes with one another, and they end up, you know, cutting ties with each other. The younger sibling doesn't respect the elder sibling, and vice versa. What is the main reason behind this? It is because of this lack of understanding of the Islamic principles that have been given to us. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the right of an elder brother upon his younger siblings is like that of the father upon his children.
Subhanallah.
So this again is a very comprehensive statement. If we take it into consideration for our family matters, that the right of an elder brother is like that of a father.
A reason has been mentioned also, Wasim Abbas bhai. They say that sometimes when parents, one of them or both of them, definitely one day everyone has to depart from this mortal world. If they pass away, then the more problems occur between the siblings, right?
Indeed.
This was one of the reasons Islam gave right to the elder brother, and the right was equal to the right of a father, so that the family gets united, and subhanAllah, this is how they all move forward.
So yeah, I mean, this was a very the family stays connected, it stays united, and the door to the arguments and disputes
that's closed,
of course, closes. Now, the again, if the younger siblings do absorb this principle in their lives, then of course the all the arguments will come to an end, because it's very seldomly seen that we, ma'azallah, argue with our parents. That if father says something, that then we keep arguing with him. You know, we to some extent do respect our parents, and not many issues arise. Same principle, the narration that we just heard, the right of elder brother upon his younger siblings is like that rights of the father upon his children. Now, with the younger siblings, they have this very principle in their minds, and they actually abide by it, then just think about the family terms, family ties that they will have with one another. If a younger sibling is respecting and honoring his elder brother just like a father, so that element of respect can only be embedded in the heart of a younger sibling if this principle is duly abided by. And there's another beautiful narration before me, Rizwan bhai, where Sayyiduna Jarir bin Hazim rahmatullahi ta'ala states that I once saw a dream that my head is in my hands. And in order to come to know of its interpretation, I told this dream to Sayyidina Imam ibn Sirin rahmatullahi ta'ala, who was an expert in interpretations of dreams. So he asked me that, are any of your parents alive? I said, no. He said, do you have any elder brother? I said, yes. He rahmatullahi ta'ala said, remain fearful of Allah Almighty. Sure. Always treat him with kindness and avoid cutting ties with him. Sure. Regarding elder brothers. So again, Imam ibn Sirin rahmatullahi ta'ala was not only a master of dream interpretations, but he was also a scholar of Islam. He understood Islam. So over here, again through this narration, we come to know that many calamities befall upon a person because of his own wrongdoings. And cutting ties with your family members, and amongst family members, the rights of parents are the foremost. And after them is, of course, the rights of your elder sibling, elder brother. So this, again, cutting ties with elder siblings, elder brothers, is one of those causes that bring about calamities, that bring about those hardships in your life. So this is, again, from social perspective, from the perspective of household, as well as of the hereafter. Again, very beautiful principle Islam has given us, that respect your elder brother just like your father. Inshallah, things will remain intact. And then on the other hand, the elder brother also has some rights for the younger siblings. We'll inshallah touch upon that as well. But this is from the part of younger siblings. If they give respect to the elder brother like a father, then inshallah the elder brother will also be compassionate and affectionate towards his younger siblings, just like a father was towards his children. So this is two-way process which keeps a family intact, and inshallah the well-being of this world and the hereafter would lie in this beautiful principle of Islam.
Masbhai, we are talking about Islam is a complete code of life. We are talking about relationships, right? How Islam has beautifully explained the rights of these relations, and this is the teaching of Islam, alhamdulillah, which helped us to form a better society. Now, if we take a little bit further this discussion, especially when a person is living in an environment, in a society, in a town, definitely he has neighbors. Yeah. And subhanAllah, beautiful instructions and guidelines Islam gives us when it comes to look after. And Islam clearly mentions the rights of neighbors to such an extent that Sahaba Ikram, Alim Ridwan, they say when the instructions, when the teachings of Islam in terms of neighborhood were being revealed, or we were being told by Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, at that moment we thought that even the neighbors will get share in inheritance.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah.
This is that much emphasis Islam has given when it comes to look after parents and to respect their rights. What would you say on this, please?
A beautiful, beautiful example and narration you mentioned, Rizwan bhai. And again, Islam has given so much, so much importance to our neighbors. And again, this all brings us to the same point that Islam is a complete code of life. Islam teaches us thoroughly how to live a life from every aspect. And neighbors, they are a daily part of our life. This is something which cannot be neglected. Now, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that, do you know what is the right of a neighbor? It is that when he asks you for help, help him. When he asks you for a loan, give him a loan. When he is in need of something, give it to him. When he is ill, inquire about him. When goodness reaches him, congratulate him. When difficulty afflicts him, console him. Do not raise your building without his permission if it blocks his airflow. Look at how beautiful teachings Islam is giving us, that do not raise your building without his permission if it blocks his airflow. Do not harm him in any way. If you buy fruit, then send some for him as well. If it is not possible to send, then bring the fruit to home in a concealed manner.
Allah
and your children should not take the fruits outside. Otherwise, it will be a cause of pain for the neighbor's children.
Allah.
Now, how beautiful Islam is teaching us to take care of our neighbors.
Even their emotions.
Even their emotions, their sentiments, their needs. If they need financial help, if they need a loan, then give them a loan. Now, all these examples that we heard in this beautiful narration, these are those practical actions that normally take place in our day-to-day life. Sometimes neighbors are asking us for different kind of help, sometimes financial help, sometimes they need a loan, sometimes they've fallen ill. So all these aspects have been covered in this narration. And how beautiful that neighborhood would be where this beautiful principle is being abided by.
MashaAllah, this we'll take this discussion a bit further, but now it's the time to include one segment. Let's go towards chosen message. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Quran Majid is a cure. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ. And we sent down in the Quran that which is a cure. وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And mercy for the believers. Hence, whole Quran is a cure. Believe you me, this perspective of Quran being cure is specific for mu'mineen. This is a special mercy for mu'mineen, for believers. But in reality, even if a non-believer reads Quran, this Quran, Book of Allah, also benefits him. Apparent benefits of Quran on body and peace of heart is attained through these beautiful words of Quran when one recites or listens it. Even a non-believer will get these benefits if he or she recites. That's why you may have seen that in the parliaments of non-Muslim countries and offices, Quran is being recited. This recitation is arranged to attain peace and blessings. It's a book of Allah, means of getting salvation and blessings. Where the dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is mentioned, blessing is showered there. Angels cover participants of that gathering with their wings. So the best form of dhikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is in the shape of Quran, pure word of Allah. Hence, I advise that we should include a recitation of Quran in our daily routine life. It used to happen, people, they knew each other, who is living next door, who is their next door neighbor, they would go, they would help, they would even share whatever they cook. And if anything would happen, they would go and share their feelings and emotions. But nowadays, you see, the things have gone to such an extent that we've got more friends on Facebook or maybe on social media. But unfortunately, who is living next to us, we are unaware of their needs.
Indeed.
We do not know how, in what situation they are living, how sad and how unfortunate it is. And on the other hand, Islam is teaching us such beautiful teachings. How would you respond
Indeed.
To this?
Indeed, and it's very unfortunate to see this. And the main reason again is because of being very, very far away from the Islamic teachings, being very far away from the golden principles of Islam and living an actual life, staying away from the seerah, from the sunnahs of the beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's one way. Which other teachings would entail a person's level of excellence by the level of how good he is with his neighbors? In other words, the Islamic teachings, the level of excellence of a person depends on how good he is to his neighbors.
Character certificate is issued from them.
Indeed, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that by Allah Almighty, he will not be a complete believer. By Allah Almighty, he will not be a complete believer. And it was humbly asked in the court of Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam that, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who, that you've just mentioned that he will not be a complete believer. So who, O Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam? So the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, replied, that person whose neighbor is not safe from his evil. So the person from whose evil his neighbor is not safe, he is not a complete believer. So if a person is not a complete believer, then we can all imagine what a downfall he is heading towards.
And one another narration comes in my mind. The summary of the narration is, if you want to know that how good or you are, then find out from your, if the neighbor is talking good about you, that means you are a good character person.
Indeed, and the narration, it states that one person, he asked the beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that, O Messenger of Allah, please tell me such an action due to which I will enter paradise. And the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, become pious, become righteous. And he said, how will I know that I'm righteous? How will I know that I've become pious? Then the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, ask your neighbors, if they call you righteous, then you are righteous. And if they call you bad, then you are bad.
Allahu Akbar.
So what beautiful, again, parameters have been set here that it's quite obvious, Rizwanvi, that if you're nice to your neighbors, they'll of course praise you. And if you harm them in any way, it can be, you know, nowadays due to noise, ma'adallah, you know, late in the night, people would be, ma'adallah, celebrating in unlawful means, through unlawful mediums, and their neighbors would be, you know, bothered, they would be troubled. Or, you know, they would be, ideal example, they would be parking in front of their driveway. Yeah. And so many other kind of these issues. Now, a person whose car is being parked in front of someone else's driveway, is he going to call you a good person or a bad person? Every sensible person will know the answer.
And if he comes and tells you something that, please do not do this because we get in problem, then the other person, rather than excusing, and then he starts getting angry.
Indeed.
Why did he come and say to me?
Yes, indeed. So these are unfortunately those things that we come across nowadays. But in the light of this narration, we come to know that to some extent, our piety is being certified by our neighbors.
SubhanAllah.
Our righteousness is being certified by our neighbors.
What a beautiful religion Islam is, alhamdulillah, is guiding us on each and every walk of life. Dear respected viewers, now it's the time to include another segment that is chosen wazaif. Let's go towards that segment. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala, ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen.
Dear respected viewers, today in Chosen Wazaif, we've got one wazifa for you, that is birth of a son. It is mentioned that whoever invokes Ya Bari'u, Ya Bari'u, whoever invokes this 10 times every Friday will be blessed with a son, insha'Allah, Azza wa Jal. So those viewers of Madani Channel, they have got this wish for Narina Aulad, and they're praying for son. So inshallah, so they can practice this beautiful wazifa, Ya Bari'u. Every Friday, inshallah, you have to recite it 10 times. Inshallah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will bless that couple with a son, inshallah. Wazifa Basbeg, we're talking about Islam is a complete code of life. If in any society justice is not present, okay, then that society cannot flourish. It will definitely, there will be a cease in that society. Now, I would like to ask you, Islam is such a complete code of life that it gives us guidelines on each and every aspect of our life, book of our life we're talking about. But definitely to maintain law and order, right? SubhanAllah, Islam also emphasizes on the fact that there should be a justice. Indeed. And there are clear instructions in Quran and through the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when it came to do justice, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam even said that even if it was my own daughter Fatima.
This again, the justice matter that you've touched upon, you would know the fact that at many places in the world where we see unrest, where we see any kind of chaos or people, you know, being in the lacking peace, the main primary reason behind that would be lack of justice. In the beginning of today's episode, we spoke about the era of ignorance, pre-Islamic time, And we spoke about all those things which were ma'azallah prevalent, all those wrong customs, evil customs that were prevalent in that society. What was the reason behind all that? Lack of justice.
True.
There was no justice whatsoever. And Islam, since Islam came, Islam gave justice to everyone.
Subhanallah.
Whether it was a son, whether it was a daughter, whether it was a wife, whether a husband, whether a businessman, whoever it was, Islam gave justice to every single person. A beautiful example comes to mind over here, that many times, one way you would have seen that there would be disputes between business partners. There would be disputes between family members. Now, what happens is that a mufti sahab is consulted over business issues. And both the parties, they come bring up their own proposals that this is what happened, this is what happened. Now, in the light, in the guidance of Sharia, the verdict is issued. And the problem is resolved in the light of Sharia. Now, before Islam, this wasn't the case. Before Islam, whoever was powerful would win the case or would have things go in his own way. But since Islam came, everything was based on justice. Everything happened based on justice. So this was just a small example of business dispute which I brought forward, that everything now would take place under the divine law, under the law of Quran and Hadith. Whoever falls within the boundaries of Sharia, the verdict will be given in his favor. So justice is something which Alhamdulillah Islam brought. And Rizwanbi, another thing that we need to be very mindful of is that during the time of Khulafa Rashidin, alayhim ridwan, tabi'in, tab'a tabi'in, we come to know that how peaceful that era was, how peaceful that environment was, especially when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was apparently present in this world. Why? Because Islam was practically acted upon at that time. Because the golden principles of Islam were abided by, and peace and justice prevailed all around. So wherever you see peace in this world, in this day and age as well, you will see that those countries, whatever law and order they have enforced over there, Islam also encourages justice, peace and law and order in the land. Alhamdulillah. So again, Islam is the only code of life that leads humanity towards salvation, that leads, that takes humanity out of the pits of unrest and enters them in the abode of peace. Other than Islam and the golden principles of Islam, there's no way for humanity to succeed and to attain salvation.
MashaAllah, beautiful. My dear respected viewers of Madani Channel, the essence of the discussion, what we've done today, that is that Islam is a complete code of life. We get guidelines. No matter whatever field we belong to, Islam guides us. It's only us. We have to read Quran. It's only us. We have to go and search. The guidelines are there for us. Alhamdulillah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam's life is the best role model for us. We can take guidelines from that, and alhamdulillah, beautiful life we can spend. So today's topic was Islam is a complete code of life. Once we know it is a complete code of life, the second point it is that we should seek knowledge, we should learn, we should know about it. Knowledge is very important. The very first verse of the Holy Quran, which was revealed upon Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Do you know how does it start? It starts with iqra, read, and subhanAllah. This is knowledge which is very important. And in Quran, at various places, Allah ta'ala talks about those they ponder, those they think, those they do tafakkur. Right? They think, they ponder. So this is reality. When we ponder, when we think, when we seek knowledge, then we learn about the teachings of Islam, Islam will guide us inshaAllah azza wa jal, and there'll be a beautiful life we can spend. Asim Abbas bhai, thank you so much for coming inshaAllah. One line message if you could give to the viewers of Madani Channel.
You want to succeed in this life and the hereafter, follow and abide by the golden principles of Islam. Inshallah, you will succeed in both worlds.
Because Islam is a complete code of life. Jazakallahu khairan. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll come back with another beautiful episode of Al-Mustafa, the Chosen One. Until then, keep watching Madani Channel. Keep reciting Salat upon Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Mustafa, the chosen one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.